There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Alex, always a pleasure having you on the program. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well, guys. Glad to be on.
So let's talk about the fact that you've mentioned it many times on the airwaves. You're a fan of all of the teams in town. Do you still get, even though this is your job, the butterflies when opening day rolls around?
It's interesting. I was even talking to my kids about it today. I said, you know, I woke them up, bringing them to school. I just got back from spring training last night and brought them to school today. And I said, oh, turn on the lights. You know, my wife's pretty nice. She'll go in and kind of lay with them and rub their backs. And I'll just pop in, turn on the lights, and just yelled out, happy opening day, to get them all excited. And they wanted no part of it. But I got to tell you, since we're not playing today, I can actually be a fan, and I'm really excited. The first game is the Angels-Orioles game at 3, so I'm excited to get to watch that. I don't have to stress about it. Once tomorrow hits, it's work. I love baseball. I love the game, but when we're playing and it's my livelihood and knowing what we have at stake, you kind of lose that joy part of it. It's still a special, great day, of course, and I know absolutely how it feels as a fan. But from my standpoint, today is kind of my opening day because I get to just be a fan.
All right. I know the answer, but I will ask. How long a list do you have in your mind of things that could go, let's just say, wrong-ish? Like, you're not even going to get to tomorrow before you don't have that thing going on, correctly?
Yeah, I mean, that list is like front of mind all off season, right? So as we're going through it all off season, and even in spring training, you know, and you'll have these days in spring training where, even though it's spring training and stats don't matter and so on, where, you know, someone's velocity is not where you want it to be or this or that, and you start worrying again. You're like, oh man, maybe we're not as good as I thought or so on. But I'd say this, I mean, the big one throughout the offseason, but it just, you know, we weren't lined up to do something, was just that outfield depth. We just always felt we were an outfielder short. I'd said it in a bunch of interviews. It's the one area we felt like if somebody goes down, and especially when Ronald had that little scare with his knee, not to take anything away from J.P. Martinez or Forrest Wall or Jordan Luplo at the time, but, you know, these guys hadn't been established for years at the big league level. So it was the one place that we were a little bit exposed. And you saw it when Harris went down. Sam Hilliard did a nice job early on for us and so on. It's the one place that I was more concerned. And, again, you're always worried about bullpen rotation, all the other stuff. But it's the one place I didn't feel as good about our depth. So once we got Adam Duvall back, that just basically, okay, now we have a guy that can backfill and cover everybody. Ronald goes down, he can play right field. Harris goes down, he can play center field. If Jared goes down, he can play left field. So I know there's going to be a lot of things that happen over the course of the year, and I was talking to Snit on my drive back from Florida yesterday afternoon. It's like, all right, let's get ready for the next 6 and hopefully 7 month journey, grind, and all of the above that we know is going to come.
All right. I don't know what you're allowed to say, but he's a member of the Atlanta Braves, so I think you can say something. Are you surprised that Adam Duvall was, let's just say, as available as he was to you?
I guess I'd say this. Once you get to March and guys are still out there, you know anything's possible at that point, right? So, look, we had checked in early in the offseason, but, again, we're lining up. It was a lot of non-tenders and so on, and we were so focused at the start of the offseason of trying to, you know, come away with some type of starter, and that was really going to be the focus, and everything else was going to fall into place after that. But once it looked like there wasn't a clear path, then all of a sudden opportunities presented themselves. Jared Kelnick presents itself. Then Ronaldo Lopez, who we felt could do both jobs, he presents himself too. Aaron Bummer in the trade, we obviously wanted to get bullpen from the left side. But then we basically, you know, we had looked into some trades for some right-handed outfielders that could play all three. And I think that's the biggest thing for us is over the past few years, when we've had to go get guys at the trade deadline, You know, it's hard to find guys that could play right field. You know, you have plenty of guys that can go, you can go stick and left. But, you know, finding guys that can play right, that have the arm strength to play right, and you feel good that profiles right fielders, you know, let alone be able to fill in center field, that's really hard to find. Especially someone in our club that's going to accept their role, be good in the clubhouse, all those things. So I think with Adam, the thing for us was he's available. He's willing to come. I can't tell him, look, come here. Harris, Acuna, Kelnick are getting all the at-bats. Ozuna's getting all the at-bats at DH. Olson's getting all the at-bats at first base. Just come here and you will not play. There's no scenario on a one-year deal he would do that. So what was the way that we could find him at-bats in knowing that he prefers to be in Atlanta and it still makes sense for him? And then also realizing that, look, guys are going to get banged up. Guys are going to get hurt. And I had a conversation with him before he signed, but you know, I had to make sure Snit was on board with it as well. And it was basically, look, Adam Duvall's available. He's available at a price that works for us. You know, how can we find at bats for him and to make this thing work? Because we know one injury and all these guys are going to be playing.
Alex Anthopoulos, GM, president of the Braves, with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Good, bad, indifferent. How concerned was the organization with Jared Kelnick, who kind of turned things around late in spring training?
None. And, you know, and it's not like me just GM speak, sticking up for our players, this and that. We acquired, you know, we didn't acquire Jared to go carry the offense and so on. We're acquiring a young, talented player with at least 5 years of club control who has all the tools in the world, swings from the left side, is a plus defender. And I got to tell you, that was probably the most appealing thing. We wanted good defense in the outfield. And that's not to say anything about anybody else, but just we wanted to have a plus outfield all three spots if we could. And anything we got offensively was going to be gravy, was going to be upside. And we know that the talent is there. But, you know, when you're getting a guy who has all those things, I mean, it was such a no-brainer move because we're not counting on him. We don't need him to be this guy that carries the offense. And anything we get offensively is going to be upside for us. But we know defensively he's going to be fantastic. We know what he's capable of. But, you know, and I'm not sure where exactly that's going to hit him. It seems like nine, but he'll make that call tomorrow. But even if you have a guy like that hitting at the bottom of your lineup, if it's 9, 7, 8, whatever it is, it just makes a ton of sense. So spring training-wise, if you ask me, you know, what everyone's spring training stats were, I have no idea. And the guys that are obvious, Strider had an awesome spring. Harris had a tremendous spring. But we're really paying attention to quality of the at-bat, hard contact, things like that. And if balls are falling in, we don't care. I mean, we've seen for years great spring performers, and it doesn't translate over. I think with Jared, the swing and miss was way down from what we saw in past years, and that was exciting. The swing looks a lot better, and the quality of contact looks great. And you got to remember, too, we're in a position that, not that we expect to repeat offensively, but we expect to be a good offensive club. You know, Mike Harris had an OPS in the fives for, I think, almost 2 months last year, and we were still a great offensive club, and we were able to just to live through that because he played great defense and we had a deep lineup. And so whether it's Jared or anybody else, people are going to have peaks and valleys, but hopefully we're built in a way that we have that depth that guys can go through a season in hot and cold streaks.
All right, just real quick on Kelnick. Hands seem to be lower. Was this a Seitzer thing that you guys always look for? Where would the upside come with us? You think the strikeouts could be taken down because you guys had seen a system, whether it's Ronald, Michael Harris, we can get them in a position to take the strikeouts down? Is that also part of why you make a deal like this?
Yeah, it wasn't just, okay, we're going to get the strikeouts and so on. So the big thing with him was young, upside, tools. I mean, getting a left-handed bat for us has been challenging as well. We've tried. We felt like our most balanced lineup was 2021, when we had the left-handed bats with Jock and Rosario and Albies and Freddie. And it was nice to have that. And you didn't have a DH there. But at times, we could run out four out of eight. And it was huge for us to be able to do that. And we've always tried to get back to having that depth and that balance. And look, with Jared, he had great minor league performance, you know, elite minor league performance, obviously high draft pick, and then outstanding tools, and then still young. And it takes time for some of these guys, and all of it's there. But look, there was no doubt there was, you know, people can call it a hitch. Some people call it a timing process and so on. But when you look at his past swings and so on and what he had done, he had shown the ability to be elite. You know, and it's not fair to expect that. You know, if he had been elite, we couldn't have acquired him, or it would have cost a lot more. He hasn't been able to put it together. So, of course, there's risk when it comes to that. But We're in a position with our team that, in my mind, those are the chances that we should take. We have so many established core position players. A lot of them signed long-term for big dollars. Being able to infuse young talent that has upside, that's plus defense, that also gives us a left-handed bat, and then going to work and trying to make some adjustments and so on, as long as the player's on board at the same time, it just made all the sense in the world for us to go ahead and try to get it done.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
You're not a clubhouse guy. So with Chris Sale, who you guys did extensive background on, and you believe he's going to fit the culture and everything else, over the seven-week period, or a little bit longer than that because he's shown up at the facility earlier, how do you actually get feedback on that? I mean, I can tell you walking in there, if you were looking for a guy who fit in, it certainly looked like, in my mind and other guys in the media's mind, oh, this guy fits in. It's conversations with him. It's watching him interact with other players. How do you get feedback on something like that?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's everybody you talk to. We have a lot of former players that have played with him that were in our organization. We have coaches that are in the organization that had been with the Red Sox when he was there, people that have been with the White Sox. And normally sometimes you'll get, you know, great guy, good teammate, all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, that's, you'll get that. But this was very different. This was just off the charts, elite, won't find anybody better, makes people better, teammates better. You know, the level of respect our guys have for him is through the roof as well. And then being around him, he's as advertised, if not beyond that. And again, it doesn't guarantee winning World Series or anything like that at all, but I am a big believer in players make others around them better. I have seen that. And not to say that we don't already have really talented players, but we do have a lot of youth on the mound. And having Charlie Morton, he brings a lot of things as well. That's a big part of the appeal with him. Now you're adding in a Sale. You have two really foundational guys in terms of makeup, the way they go about it, work ethic, competitiveness, that even though Max Fried's got a lot of experience now, and Strider's got 2 years in the league, and Ian Anderson and Huascar Ulloa and A.J. Smith-Sharp and hopefully Hurston Waldrop one day and all these guys, to be around these guys is just huge for them developmentally. So we asked a lot of people. It's someone that we've been pursuing for over a year. I mean, we talked about him last offseason as well. Couldn't get a deal done there. Then checked in again during the summer and obviously couldn't get a deal done there. And then the offseason, it was something we talked about throughout the offseason. It's start, stop, and then we finally got it done right around the holidays.
Alex Anthopoulos, GM, president of the Braves, joining us here on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Then there's Jesse Chavez. He's back. How is this guy a completely different pitcher whenever he puts on a Braves uniform? It's the question the entire city continues to ask.
Yeah, I've asked him. I'm like, I don't get it. Like, you know, your stuff's the same. Everything's the same. He thinks it's just a combination of things. I think, you know, our game planning, the guys behind the plate. Look, he's obviously not a stuff guy. He's a command guy. He's going to mix. He's going to paint. He's going to hit the corners. And for him, he really believes that it's all the things that go into that, what Sean Murphy does behind the plate, what Travis d'Arnaud does behind the plate, what our game planning group does as well. And look, obviously, we've always gotten way more than we expect out of him. I mean, you could have said he was on his way to making an all-star team last summer before he got hit with the comebacker in Detroit. So, look, at some point, I'm sure, you know, that isn't going to last. But, you know, beyond that, from a clubhouse standpoint, he's outstanding. I think he's a big part of the reason A.J. Minter has become a really durable reliever for us, just with the little things about how to take care of your body, how much you should be throwing, you know, certain days and things like that, and just little conversations like that. He's got so much experience. He's been a starter. He's been a reliever. It's just another guy. It's just a piece to add in with really good performance when he has been in Atlanta.
Yeah, the guy almost cried the other day when he was talking. Doesn't happen very often in baseball. So if you want to know what he thinks about being back, he let it be known. All right, a couple of quick things. How many, when you came into this ballpark, this facility, this team, I'll call them cubicle people. How many cubicle people were there in your quote-unquote analytics department?
I believe, there was one person that I think had the title of R&D or analytics, but he also was an employee of the IT department. So I don't even know if he fell under baseball operations. I think he may have been an IT employee at the time that he's in our department now. But I think at the time, I think he's classified under IT, and it was almost a dotted line to baseball ops and so on. So we had one. We had other people in the office, you know, good, talented people that worked in baseball operations that obviously had knowledge and so on. But, look, it was a really small staff. But yeah, in terms of pure analytics R&D, I would say it was one, but back then they would tell you that was an IT employee. So half.
So did you have to go to BrandSmart and buy computers or, because again, I think when we think analytics, there's a computer involved. Did you have to go furbish things to make this department what it became?
No, I think it's just staffing. And look, I think, you know, I've never actually asked, you know, our CFO at the time and so on, but I definitely got the sense. When I got here, you know, I got here in November, middle of November 2017, and look, Terry McGuirk was amazing. I mean, it made me feel so much better about taking the position. I was just, obviously Atlanta was great, and ballpark, and players, and all of the above, but I'm such a, you guys heard me talk about this, it's really a who do you work for. It is everything. It's 99.9% of it, and, you know, Terry definitely came across so well when I interviewed, and now I got to go to him and say, look, I really want to do some things in staffing. And look, that's going to cost, right? You want to add all these people and so on. And I could tell maybe the finance department at the time was like, well, who is this guy coming in? He's spending money all over the place. Even things like the family room, it felt like a closet at the time. And I remember just saying, look, we got to take money out of team payroll. Let's take it out of team payroll. We got to expand this thing. And, you know, just all these little things. But I got to tell you, like, I went to Terry just to make sure, but there wasn't, he was on board with all this stuff, and he didn't bat an eyelash. He didn't, you know, interrogate me. He was just like, hey, this is what you think we need to do. Go, you know. And he told me yes the whole way. Obviously, I was going to be responsible about it, but we added a lot. We added a lot of bodies. We spent a lot of money early on. And even the Matt Kemp trade, that was tough too. I mean, we were eating a lot of money, and you know, that ultimately was going to clear the path for us to sign Josh Donaldson the next year. That was going to clear the path for Ronald Acuna to get called up, because you have to remember, when I got here, Kemp was on a 2-year deal. He had a good year. He had Nick Markakis that had a year left. He had Ender Inciarte, who was a Gold Glover in center field and on a long-term deal. We didn't have a DH, so there was no place for Acuna to come up and play whenever that time was going to be. Someone's going to have to sit and get benched. And then we ultimately clear that salary, and now we give Donaldson $23 million, which was almost in line with what Kemp was going to make in 2019 as well. So, you know, Terry was on board the entire time, and it would have been very easy for him to say, whoa, slow down a little bit. We're really spending money. But he was fully supportive. And again, we don't have the success without him giving me the autonomy, really, to be able to get things done that we needed to get done.
When you're on the road, what entrance do you go into at Major League ballparks? And was there a moment when you had to tell people who you were? Are we past that now where you can walk into any? I'm really asking, like, where do you go in to a ballpark if you just want to go watch a game someplace?
Oh, you mean like in Atlanta, or you mean like?
No, on the road.
Yeah, so I'll jump on the team bus. There'll be a bus, and I'll just jump on the bus and so on. But, yeah, I just, you know, normally that's probably the easiest way to
do it.
Is there
a pass? Do you have a pass? Yeah. Like, do you have?
Yeah, you have a pass. Every employee that travels has a pass. That, you know, for ballparks and so on, you know, and obviously it says 2024 on it. Now I just got it a few days ago, so I always carry it with me in my bag. But, yeah, you just basically show your pass, you can get in a ballpark, and then you find your way to find the elevator or wherever it is and to get down to the clubhouses. But a lot of times, you know, where the team's staying or you're staying at the hotel, they'll have a bus, you know, certain times, and you'll jump on that team bus, and it'll basically bring you to the area where the players go.
Hey, before we let you go, how much mentally and physically do you think this team missed the presence of Tyler Matzek? And him being back, how much of a difference do you think that's going to make?
You know, I didn't tell him this because he would just, his head would just explode even more than it already has. And I could say this even if it gets back to him because he would smile. But so I hate giving him a compliment on air because I know I could just see him grinning. But he gives us a lot of swag that we kind of missed. You know, and he was around, but it's different. He's rehabbing in the mornings and so on. Just seeing him in the clubhouse. He's got an edge to him. He stirs it up in a good way, conversations. You know, it's a lot of what Luke Jackson brought as well. You know, and especially the two of them together, oh, my God. You want to talk about you watch a debate, pull up your popcorn, and you see them go at it, debating anything under the sun. But Tyler's great, and, you know, you kind of realize, obviously, I love what he does on the mound, but he's a really great clubhouse piece, just bringing everybody together, conversations. He'll get you to smile and laugh and challenge you in a really good way. And, you know, I'll always joke with him because he'll send all kinds of stuff on Twitter and so on. And he'll be kind of scared to say, what did I do now? But he's just I'm excited about what he's going to do on the mound. But I'm especially excited just for what he's going to bring being an active part of the team day in and day out.
Finish the sentence. We'll finish up with you. The Braves in 2024.
I pray I win a World Series.
Do you not feel in... I guess you guys aren't really allowed to say anything really more emphatic.
I guess it's just, you know, it's just so hard. You have all these teams, right? You have all these, you know, you see it everywhere. All these teams, we should win the World Series. We're not, we want to bring the trophy back. And, of course, a lot of these teams are talented to do it. You just know how hard it is, right? So I think in my chair, you want to feel like, hey, we've put together a roster, health, you know, permitting, that hey, has every chance to win a World Series. And, look, I'm still sitting here and I'm questioning things. Off-season, actually, we have pushed harder on this guy. Should we have done this, done that? And I'm going to be following some box scores and some video, whether it's minor league players, big league players. I do that all the time. And you'll see how it kind of plays out over the course of the year. But you just know once you get in, all these other teams are really talented as well. And, you know, I'm looking at all these. Everyone's trying to project who's going to win the World Series and so on. And it can go so many ways. But I know our players have put everything they can into it to get ready. I feel like with everything we have available to us, we've done everything we can while also trying to maintain the long term, because that's always a balancing act. And I still struggle with it to this day. How hard do we push in 1 year knowing we want to continue to be good year in and year out? Man, that's a challenge for any GM. So we've definitely got the tools and the talent to win it. We got to get in first.
Yeah, Anthopoulos says World Series are bust.
Don't say that because someone's going to take the ball and run.
My only question is, bust? Does the place explode? What happens?
No, everybody's sad.
I get it. Like, we want to win the World Series. We won't accept anything less. I'm all in on
that. Well, there's no scenario that if you don't win the World Series that people aren't upset.
I get it. But, look, people are going to be upset regardless. I mean, I guess no one was upset. I mean, not terribly upset in 2018 because we weren't expected to make the postseason. But I got to tell you, I didn't hear World Series or bust in 2020, and I was upset in 2020 when we lost. I mean, it was a long drive home from Arlington. It was me, my wife, and the kids, and it was an emotional car ride. So we are, and I'm not trying to take anything away from it. I think basically it's, look, we've got a World Series caliber team. We're absolutely shooting for that. And look, I want our players to have that mentality. I think it's a great thing. And look, it does, it reaffirms to me, and I'm going to do everything I can. We get to the trade deadline and there's an impact player. I'm going to try to go out and get that player for our fans and for our own players.
Well, the journey starts tomorrow. Alex Anthopoulos, always a pleasure having you on. Certainly we'll talk as the season rolls on.
All right, guys. Always enjoy it.
Alex Anthopoulos, GM, president of the Braves, with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker Line.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like.
You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.